Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
As we explore little gods, small g, I'm thinking about a superhero movie, The Avengers. There's an exchange between the Black Widow and Captain America. Oddly, they are discussing whether to go after Thor and Loki. If you're familiar with the Marvel superhero movies, you'll remember the conversation. It goes like this. Natasha Romanoff, who is the Black Widow, says, "I'd sit this one out, Cap." Then Steve Rogers, who is Captain America, says, "I don't see how I can." Natasha Romanoff replies, "These guys come from legend. They're basically gods, small g." Then Steve Rogers says, "There's only one god, ma'am, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that." You know, it's one thing to talk about make-believe superheroes as gods, small g. But to talk about people like you and me being gods? Realistically, that's a stretch. Interestingly, Scripture does just that. Consequently, what practical application does little gods have for you? Well, let's tear into it. Before we look at today's scripture dissection, I suggest take a look at Tear Into It. That episode explains how and why we introduce scripture dissection exercises every few weeks in our article rotation. So now let's explore little gods by looking at Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6, and Psalm 82, verse 6. First, let's start with Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6, and I'm just going to go ahead and read those verses. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings." There's an asterisk at the word beings. "And crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." So that was Psalm 8, 4 through 6. Now is Psalm 82, verse 6. "You are gods, small g, sons of the Most High, all of you." Okay, every scripture dissection article, we engage four focuses. What does it say? What does it mean? Make it personal and make a commitment. So let's start with what does it say? Psalm 8, 4 through 6. Here are the bullet points of what this passage says. First of all, the psalmist is trying to figure out why God values people so much. He asks, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" I assume he genuinely wants to know. Next, David recalls a few things he knows about people and God. And here he dabbles with the unthinkable, little gods. First point, "You have made him a little lower than heavenly beings." And again, the word beings has an asterisk next to it. Next point, "And crowned him with glory and honor." Next point, "You have given him dominion over the works of your hands." And the next point, "You have put all things under his feet." Now let's look at Psalm 82, verse 6. First bullet, "You are gods, small g." Next point, "Sons of the Most High." Next point, "All of you." Definitely a dabble in the idea of little gods. Okay, so after what does it say, let's look at what does it mean. In order to discover what these passages mean, we must ask a question. Then we must examine something that Jesus says. So what's the question? Who are you? First, if you've ever asked, "Who am I?" during the course of your life, you're not alone. Even the psalmist asks questions like that. In Psalm 8, he says, "What is man and all his generations?" Then he asks, "Why do you care for him?" Then he says, "It's odd. You've given him a place of glorious influence and responsibility." Then he goes on to say, "He's just a little bit lower than mighty angels and other beings continually in your presence." He continues, "Remarkably, you've put a crown on his head of honor and glory." Then he says, "Frankly, it's quite undeserved." And then he notes, "You've placed all creation under him to care for and govern over." And then he concludes, "Truly, you've placed everything pertaining to the globe under his dominion." All right, it's time to look at the footnote in that phrase, "You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings," with the asterisk. How interesting. Let's look at a first observation. A number of translations say, "a little lower than the angels." Second observation. The footnote says, "a little lower than God," big G. So God's answer to the question, "Who are you?" is that he designed you to be a little lower than angels, in actuality, a little lower than himself. Subsequently, this likely refers more to design and value than power. There's no comparison to God's unlimited power. In fact, no other entity comes remotely close. Nevertheless, when Jesus talks about people, he uses words like children and friends. These reveal his heart towards you. In essence, you are very dear to him, chosen to be his child and friend. However, this honor feels misplaced, considering mankind walked away from God. Further, why would God make children and friends from the dust of the earth? Basically, it's unknown why God would create people to be his children and friends. But it's an amazing gift of life and belonging. Okay, so we said we needed to look at a question and then something that Jesus says. And the question we just asked is, "Who are you?" The second thing is what Jesus says. Not only does God expose his heart toward mankind in Scripture, Jesus reaffirms, "Yes, it's true," when he quotes Psalm 82, verse 6, in John chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. The John verses go like this. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods," small g. If he called them gods, small g, to whom the word of God came, and Scripture cannot be broken, and it goes on from there. Now, that answer is Jesus addressing the Pharisees who had just accused him of blasphemy for claiming to be God. How interesting. Apparently, they thought it was nuts for a man to be God, capital G. It's certainly an unexpected development. Yet they apparently accepted their law refers to them as little gods, small g. Surely they know man is fallen from the elevated position of original design, which Jesus, the God-man, big G, came to earth to correct. Still, Psalm 82, verse 6 refers to the human race as gods, small g. Basically, little gods. You are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Jesus reaches back to original design of creation to pull us back into right relationship with God. Specifically, he addresses both the design and the value of man. Let's look at the design. God's original design for people is glorious, powerful, and one of responsibility. In essence, we are to be little pictures of himself. Plus, we are to govern human affairs globally. And finally, we are to care for creation. All this requires unbroken connection to God, since those design pieces require wisdom and discernment. One reason our world is so broken is because we don't operate inside our original design. Sadly, people have lost sight of their glory, power, and responsibility. How unfortunate. Let's move on to look at value. Your life is of high value. God made you for Himself with desire of close relationship. And because sin destroyed that, God sent Jesus to carry out a special commission. What is that commission? Jesus reaches back to creation to connect God's original intentions for man with eternity. He pays the penalty of sin and invites you back into original design. What an incredible statement of value. Fellowship with God. Representatives of God. Consequently, your original value is on Jesus' radar when He becomes the God-man. In Revelation 21, verse 5, Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." So His commission is to do these three things: redeem your lost high position, restore your design, and reinstate your value. So those three points again are to redeem your lost high position, to restore your design, and reinstate your value. In other words, Jesus is underlining and using bold to declare the human race is still intended to be little gods under God, big G. Okay, so let's move on to the third section we always cover, make it personal. To make this unique information personal, let's explore God's meaning of little gods. We've already looked at design and value from His perspective. Still, what qualities keep fallen humanity in check? Seriously, we have such a tendency to be selfish trolls instead of respectable gods. Of course, the blood of Jesus Christ is the critical first piece. Trusting Jesus involves the great transfer. Jesus takes your sin into Himself and puts His righteousness onto you. So God sees Jesus when He looks at you. Wow! Additionally, Jesus models a healthy, godly life as a man. He intends to be our example. To be healthy and godly, you must practice specific qualities to connect back with original design. These qualities identify who really is a Jesus follower and who is not. Of course, there are mimics running around today. But Jesus said, "You will recognize them by their fruits." John 7, verse 16 and verse 20. So let's look at fruit and qualities. Since Jesus is our model, let's look at His fruit first. 1, love. 2, joy. 3, peace. 4, patience. 5, kindness. 6, goodness. 7, faithfulness. 8, gentleness. 9, self-control. Those individual fruits together form the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. It's not a pick-and-choose list. It's an all-or-nothing list. Remarkably, Jesus' example also shows His qualities: humility, surrender, God-centered, not man-centered, commitment, focus, discipline, and resolve. So that covers the fruit and the qualities Jesus models for His followers. That is the beginning of how you can make it personal. Grab on to those things that Jesus puts forth. And now we're going to talk about making a commitment, the application thoughts and questions. First of all, have you grasped how precious your life is to God? Second, have you lost sight of your design and value? Third, are you practicing the fruit of the Spirit? All of them. Again, that list was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Which do you lack? What will you do about it? Number four, can others identify you by your fruit? Five, do you practice the additional qualities Jesus practiced? Let's review that list. Humility, surrender, God-centered, not man-centered, commitment, focus, discipline, and resolve. And then number six, how can you be a better little God? I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app, or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.